Lyon City Council to order for Wednesday, October the 8th, 2014, at 6 o'clock. And we'll have, we'll establish a quorum.
Steve Martinez, present.
Kat Yeagan, present.
Ken Mullins, present.
Conant Barker, present.
You guys kind of moved him down a lot. He's going to become the mayor if we go.
Yeah. One more chair closer. Jeez. At this time, I'd like to ask Tom, lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance, would you?
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, Tom. Are there any added agenda items at this time?
Yes. First, wanting council approval for a letter of support for the Newberry Volcano Geothermal Project, and the president of the company working on that, Dave is here, so I thought we'd put that on, let him come up and say a couple words about the project. We talked about the last meeting, so we have a letter to send with mine, the mayor's signature. We wanted to make sure we understood a little about the project, and okay. So he came down. Okay. And then, I guess
you want to put that following public comment, or would you?
Yeah, we'll do it after a public comment, and then you can move into your stuff.
Okay. Hearing no other, or having no other added agenda items, we'll move to the consent agenda. Any questions on the consent agenda? Comments?
I need Mr. Mayor's state action, but the benches move that bill before the next meeting.
Okay. Noted.
Thank you.
Is there a motion to approve the consent agenda?
Second.
Moved and seconded. Any discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? You're good with it too?
Yeah.
Okay. Let the record reflect that it's approved unanimously. And at this time, I'll entertain a public comment.
I'd just like to have Stu move his mic a little closer so we can hear him. Thanks.
Thank you, Tom. Any further public comment?
It's got to be a lot closer for you, and also with the on button, of course.
Where is that?
Okay, so at this time, we will take up the letter of support for the Newberry Volcano Geothermal Area for Frontier Observation for Research in Geothermal Energy, and please.
This is a letter we talked about. Edgar and Lev had asked us to do this that would support what he's working on. And Jerry asked me if it would be good for him to come down and spend a few minutes telling us about what's going on and what his company's, what this whole thing is. And then we do have a letter for us to sign.
Okay.
Okay. Sure. First, I'm not the president of the company. I'm the public relations and community relations outreach guy, but I do work for them. And really, the letter is not for the Newberry Geothermal Project. It's for the lab. It's to have a national geothermal research facility sponsored and funded by the Department of Energy located at Newberry. We have an empty pad that we are proposing as a location for the laboratory itself. So that's what this is about. And
is that called Frontier Observatory for Research? Okay,
that's the forge.
That's in the title.
I don't know how you could come up with a more arcane acronym than that, but you know, the government keeps outdoing itself. I don't know who thought that one up, but basically the deal on that is it's going to be funded at $30 million a year, and we're in the site selection process for that. We're in phase one, which is to select 10 sites to compete for that grant. there'll be $200,000 or $300,000 to each site to do site optimization, verification, and paperwork, basically. And then they'll narrow that down to three sites around the first of the year. Then there'll be $29 million for 2015 to basically split between the sites, to select the sites, and then at the end of 2015, they'll make a final decision. We want that to be us, and it'll be funded at about $30 million a year in perpetuity. So it's going to be a nice big, well, it's a nice feather in your cap, for one thing, to have that located here, and it's a nice economic influx. We think there's about 10 permanent jobs, give or take, and plus subcontractor work, you know, Hap Taylor and folks like that, and well drillers and whatnot. And then there'll be companies coming in all from around the world to do research at the facility, and we're trying to tie it into OSU Cascades and the local community and get everybody behind it. City of Bend approved it in, last week, I guess. The county commissioners are writing a letter. The Sun River Homeowners Association Board has given us a letter, and my job is just to solidify the community support, and it's one of the key criteria for selecting, is to show that the community is behind it. Because
you said there's 10, is it 10 statewide or 10 nationally?
Nationally. We're the only ones in Oregon, only one in the region that I'm from. I think there'll be one in Nevada, and possibly California, and then some others in the Rocky Mountain West. But we feel like we're in the driver's seat. We've been working with the Department of Energy for 5 years, because they have a matching grant for our project. And this is for EGS, the Engineer Geothermalist, move that technology forward so it can be commercialized. And that's what we do as EGS. That's what we've been doing up there for a while. So everything that they've written is in terms of monitoring, testing, developing protocols, doing all this work, we're doing it right now, as a matter of fact. You notice the smoke coming out of the volcano? No. Just kidding, Stu. But we just want to show them that these communities and the area is really behind this, and we want that economic, you know, benefit and all of that.
Any questions, Council? Okay. Would you state your name for the record, please?
David Stowe.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I'm going to figure out my buttons. Press the red button. So, with the letters of support, how soon or can you predict when the government's going to give you the go-ahead and construction will start, and the jobs, are they going to be like high-tech, I assume?
So it'd be around the first part of 2016 when they would make the final selection, and I don't know what the timing is of construction and those kinds of things, but I would assume as quickly as possible, which in government time is not really quick. But and the types of jobs would be engineers and scientists. We are proposing using the Northwest National Lab out of the Tri-Cities as the operator of the lab and the site. We don't want to do that. It's a way they do that kind of work, and they've done it before, have a lot of experience with it. So that makes our proposal stronger, and they're the right people to do the job. Our project will run in parallel with that. We will derive some benefit, possibly get an easement for a power line, road maintenance, those kinds of things will help us out. Plus, it'll bring more attention, which is good for us. But the funding will go for the lab, not for the Newberry project. They're kind of two separate things.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I know you had a presentation at the chamber, and I was supposed to be there, but I think I was on my way to Redmond for something else, and I'd still like to talk with you, but
absolutely.
I'm in support of the project. I think it's exciting. You know, those scientist jobs and the research and OSU, I think is going to open up a big door for us here. So my only concern was to get with you to discuss the project, and not that I was against it or anything.
No, no, you made that really clear, and I'm trying, you know, my job is to answer people's questions and to just make an open book out of this whole thing so that people don't feel like we're doing anything or trying to cover up anything, because the opposite is the truth.
Well, we want to read the book. We'll still get together.
Yeah, I'll be at the Lapine Chamber.
Chamber breakfast on the 17th.
Yeah.
They'll have a lengthy presentation. They're the sponsor. So.
Yeah. You'll have to drink coffee to stay awake through that.
Kathy, anything? No, I totally support it too. And I look forward to 2016 getting here. I just would like it to be here sooner.
So would we. Yeah. Well, great. Thank you so much.
And I would just say that I'd ditto Stu's comments that it's a great opportunity for Lapine.
Yeah.
And it just adds a little more luster and all of that around other companies wanting to be here and recognizing the area as an opportunity. So thank you very much.
Thank you.
Now we have a funding request for KITC-FM new radio station. And council, there's a packet in here for, if you haven't seen it, for a request. There's two of them right here.
My name is Bill Scally. I'm the manager for KITC-FM. What I'm here to ask of the council is we're asking for $2,000 to put in a new radio station. You should have a packet that looks something like this. It's going to be called KNCP. That was picked by the area people up here for call letters, and it stands for Newberry Country Pride, or Newberry Country People is what the call letters stand for. It will be on a new frequency of 107.3, and it'll be broadcasting from the top of Finley Butte with three times the power that KITC has. About 12 years ago, we put KITC on, and I must let you know, it's called low power radio, and it's a new radio service that came out in the year 2000 from the Federal Communications Commission. I applied for a license at that point through the Crescent Gilchrist Community Action Team. We were granted it. We were on the air in 2001. What we plan on doing up here, as you probably well know, we have a lot of shows that come out of our studio that is located in the chamber office over here. We have about 65% of all our live shows come out of Lapine. So, that's quite a number, and of course we're adding on all the time. We always felt that we wanted to branch out, and Tony DeBone came down and begged me. I'll just say he begged me to bring KITC up here into a studio. So we did start the studio up here, actually in his old offices, or a little D-Tech right over there in the marketplace over there. And it was quite an experience. And they put the equipment out in the morning and took it down in the right after their show, and then did their business as Little D-Tech. So it was interesting. We've grown since then, and now we have a full-blown studio, which is basically a talk studio in the chamber office, in approximately $65,000 worth of equipment sitting over there. So we have invested quite a bit, and so now we're asking for an investment from the city of $2,000 so we can get this station on the air. Our goal is $8,000. We are on a funding campaign right now to raise the rest of the money. And what this will buy us is the transmitter, antennas, and the necessary equipment to get it on the air. I started in radio when I was 12 years old. I got my first class commercial license when I was 15, which was just a couple of years ago.
Yes.
I'm well versed in how to put the radio station together, and my job is to keep it on the air. And for 12 years, I've done that at KITC, and we've only been off the air maybe 60, 70 times. No, that's not true. We have a good track record. We run 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. So, can I answer any questions?
Council?
I can't think of any right now.
I must say, low power radio is like OPB. Mm-hmm. We're not a commercial. We're completely non-profit. All my people that I call my family, some of them are back here in the audience, they are all volunteers. We don't have any paid staff. I've never had a dime come out of it, but I've had a lot of enjoyment. And I think we've done a service to the area that is ongoing, and we can do the same up here even better. I'm sure all of you have seen the KITC van at different events up here. We provide not only the van for local broadcast, but we also supply a lot of the audio equipment for PA systems and so on and so forth for different events that go on up here. And we're happy to do that, and we will continue on. So,
Stu?
There's no doubt that, you know, the radio station has done the community and the surrounding area, you know, you're a tremendous asset. There's no doubt about that. You say the goal is 8,000.
Mm-hmm.
And to ask where you're at in that goal?
Currently, I think we're right around 2,300. There is another project that has been put on by one of the other volunteers called Kickstart. I think there's 855 in there that I'm not counting. We're going to have another meeting this Friday, and I know there's some other monies out there, but I don't want to say, you know, we're at $5,000 or whatever when I haven't really counted it. So I'm going to leave it at 2,300. That's what's on our website right now.
Okay. And then I know you've probably explored all the other avenues for funds.
We are.
Okay. Because, you know, we also have our other budget documents in front of us.
Mm-hmm.
And I can tell you, looking at the numbers, they just don't match. So, if I could write a check, I'd do it right now.
That's okay. Go ahead.
I had to take my bottles in the other day and avoid a service charge.
I understand.
But, I just, for the city to try to do 2,000 at this time, I don't see where we can do it.
Well, I think we'll get to talk to staff and see where that is.
Well, that's what I'm looking at is the staff report.
But go on with further comment.
I personally don't listen to that radio station, but I know lots of students, enjoy it as, if they drive from Gilcrest to Lapine, but I don't know much about it. I don't know how the whole radio system works, but I think it's always great to have a radio station that belongs to our area, because it's just another thing that has our name on it that, is promoting Lapine, so I kind of like that idea. So I think what Stu was said, I missed a budget meeting, but I don't know where exactly if we have the funds, but I think it seems like a great thing to have in our area, so we should look at that.
I might tell you that we currently broadcast every game, or almost every game, of the Grizzlies at KITC. And that has become just phenomenal for the students, not only for them, but for their parents, grandparents. We get listeners, we have two listeners in Iraq. We've had listeners, we have a stream that runs on the internet. We've had people in Uruguay, Iceland, Australia, England, that know KITC and know where it's at. And that will be the same for KNCP. We will have a separate stream for that. That's what we're planning on, and we plan on being able to do the Hawks. So we're going to brand the station to Lapine. It won't be a Gilcrest station. It'll be a Lapine station.
I think that I've told a lot of people this, but I think a town needs several things. I think it needs a post office. I think it needs a library, a newspaper, a city hall, and a radio station. And I I live down off of Burgess and Huntington, and I can't get KITC because it comes out of Gilchrist. Mm-hmm. And it's, I'm just low enough below the level of picking it up. And so I don't really consider that, because there's a lot of people that can't get it.
There are, and that's why we want to put this station up.
I don't consider that a radio station for Lapine. I think this is one of the greatest opportunities, and I'm just going to say it bluntly. You know, we spend money on Frontier Days, and we spend money on rodeo and all of that, and those are events that come and go, and hopefully they'll stay around a long time. But a radio station is like a library or any other thing that's a permanent signature of a town. And I think we should find the money to help get this off the ground. So, Council, that's my feeling. And I think we ought to dig deep in places if we have to. And I know the city manager can help us.
Yeah.
Without getting his own checkbook out or turning to Stu Riz. I think this is an important event for us.
So, I appreciate that. We want to do this for Lapine. I spend probably 75% of my time in Lapine, although I live in the Gilchrist area. But I spend more time up here than I do down there.
I'll make one more comment. There is a volunteer going around seeking charter donations or sponsorships of $250, which I'm proud to say that I have subscribed to, and I know a bunch of others in the community that have done that. And that's, you know, it's not like you're coming to the city council saying, you know, do this.
Yeah.
I know the efforts you're taking to find the funds elsewhere. So, Council, I think it behooves us to make this happen.
But you see, TRT fund can't be used for it. It's not a tourist room, a transient room tax type thing. So, you remember what I said when we did the budget, when we started, you want to have groups come in. And they make presentations, and then you kind of pick them, and that. What does that do then? That reduces your flexibility. So this is your first time of that reality. I mean, we've already committed of the $5,000 we had for kind of community projects. We've committed 4,750 because we don't say no very well, and everything that comes in is key and important. But you said yes to the skate park for 2,200 because we had to have it, and then we did the bathroom for 1,000. And Stan, the man in the back here that runs that program, 1,500, and you know, High Lakes Car Club, $1,200. You just add these all up, and that was the process that you guys wanted. We don't have money set aside for $2,500 requests in the middle of the year that weren't. I mean, you have trick or treaters coming in a month. Someone's going to come in and want $100 for that, I'll bet. So you just. As far as our VAT fund, you know, we don't have money. Remember, the other thing we talked about is as we've matured as a city, now the funds are allocated. They're allocated to trees or sidewalks or street lights. We, you know, prior, since we were so new, everything was more of a big pot. You know, we've talked about that. I mean, it was easy to just move money around, but you have a budget committee, and they've met. And there's this whole pages of items that are listed, and they are everything from soup to nuts. You know, you obviously have the power to move money around if there's something you say, you know, we've got some capital money for the rodeo, for the new rodeo grounds. Now that's in a capital fund. Of course, if the rodeo people knew you were going to, or the park system knew you were going to be taking that, they may all be down here. So you just got to be very careful. You start moving these things around. It's a big request. I mean, to just come in off the street and write a check tonight for us as far as town our size. So,
may I ask a question, Mr. Allen? Why would this not be part of the TRT benefit to the community? Because we have a show called the Lapine Chamber Connection. We broadcast all sorts of different events and that type of thing. So that would be, I would see that falling into that category.
You could make, you could kind of make that argument if you want to get on. It's a local, I mean, again, that's, I guess it's a judgment call. You can decide. I mean, the laws were pretty clear. It's meant to promote events where people get in their car and drive. Since you're a low wattage station that doesn't leave the immediate area,
true.
See, the transit room tax funds, and I think that, just wait. if the chamber wanted to fund you, I mean, we fund the chamber $50-some thousand, but I mean, the idea that your radio station covers a few miles out. Transit room tax funds are meant to bring in people that are staying in motels and coming from somewhere. And if I hear this message out on Day Road, I'm not coming in to get a motel. It's not considered tourism in that sense. So, I mean, again, you could argue that you have a half-hour program where you give some public service announcements, but community-based radio stations are community-based radio stations for the communities they're in. They're not, you know, regional-type things, but when the legislature and everyone passed these laws, they didn't want, because you can take that money, you could argue, we could go down and say a tourist may come to a high school game, so let's fund the high school basketball team going somewhere. I mean, you could fund anything if you get it, but we've tried to take it rodeo frontier days, events that truly are bring people into the community, those are transit room tax eligible. And if you start lily-nilly spending them in the motels and so on, start getting on. And well, we turn over most of it to the chamber.
The plan of this particular radio station is to be in conjunction with the radio station in Gilchrist. So all live programming will be on both radio stations. At that time, they'll both be broadcasting the same exact thing. And when they're finished with their programming, it'll be separated out. So in essence, what I'm saying is you are reaching out. You're reaching all the way to Chemult, to Sun River, with a signal that it will be beneficial to Lapine.
And it's like with all of these. It is not that it's, see, what happens is, and I get, you don't have to convince us it's good. I've listened to it. I've been on it. That isn't the debate. The council only, even if you take the TRT, only has 3,000. You're only in the third month of a 12-month year. What else is going to come along for $500 or $250 6 months from now? And that's all I'm saying. That's all my job is to say, this is the numbers, this is the budgets. You get to decide yes, no, or in between, or whatever.
Tell us about the capital fund. About in this.
Well, capital is buying something. This okay. Isn't, you know, this isn't.
I mean, for Frontier Days. I mean, excuse me, for the rodeo grounds. We have some money sitting in there.
But it's under capital. Which means we were going to help them, if you know, not knowing whatever was going to go on out there, like getting if something gets built, doing things. Capital obviously is building things, and you can actually do planning with it because that you can amortize that out in accounting terms. So it was kind of getting the Frontier Days and Rodeo out to that site. We set aside a few thousand dollars for that. You know. Now, we can't really move capital money. This is more detail that we could spend hours on this. You cannot move capital money into materials and services without a supplemental budget. Materials and services, and these are all Oregon laws, materials and services. So if we overexpend that and we grab $2,000 from down here, you have to do a supplemental budget. See, these things are designed not, they really are, the laws are designed not to let you just, you should actually be glad they're there.
So you're telling us that we don't have $2,000 in any fund that we can reach into.
Well, you can. I mean, you could say, I don't think we're going to spend $6,000 on postage, and I'm going to take $2,000 that the budget committee approved for postage. I mean, you guys are responsible. All I can do is when we put the budget together, and you're also only 3 months into the year. You know, if this was May. That's a different discussion because then you know more what's come in, what other things have fallen off the table. But we're really in the early stages of the budget. This was not contemplated, it was not anticipated, and they did not come in and ask for it and under the system that the council wanted set up.
I understand.
So, you know, if you wanted to get, let's see, if I was to find a spot for not $2,000, but you wanted to make some contribution, I would say, if you wanted to say this is good for business and the business development, yeah. Again, you can say that about lots of stuff. You know, we do have that in the general fund that we haven't yet allocated. We've talked about other things, so we have to be careful. But if you wanted to, you know, steal $1,000 out of that, and then let them come back later in the year.
What's that?
There's questions.
You know, I'm gonna let us wait here, and the council will make our decision around this.
You go to your budgets. If you guys go to general fund.
Yes, please.
I know when I was looking at this at home, I don't know if this is, if I got confused or not, because I see the KNCP for 2000 and I see the KIT for 2000. Are we looking at a total of 4,000?
No. We're the only thing we're asking for is for KNCP for $2,000. And it will be for to purchase the equipment for the transmission of the program.
Okay, so the second page is just a repeat.
Oh, and
well, that was part of my concern.
So. No, I'm sorry. Well, is there a deadline when you have to purchase this equipment?
Yeah, the construction permit allows you to go 18 months from the time that it's issued, and it was issued back in January. So we have time. To get it up and running. I'll give you this.
Maybe you guys should table, let me come back with a recommendation. One thing is what I want to know.
This is the actual construction.
I know he's going to give me an answer, but I need to see what their corporate status is.
501c3.
Yeah. That, so, because Jeremy would tell you, we want to know who we're giving the money to.
Absolutely.
Unless
Absolutely.
We're giving it to the chamber and they're running it through. But I mean, we just don't sit here, you know. Again, I said, well, he'll give me an answer, but we would actually need to, we'd want to get the corporate papers and things. So, but I think that we can come back in a month.
That's very viable. But I also want to go back to this one thing about, you know, I think this is something that we could relate to business.
I mean,
that's a radio station. We're going to have broadcasting of business ads and stuff like this. And this will actually be a station for Lapine. It'll actually be focused on Lapine, and we can say we have our own radio station. So I think the opportunity there I have no problem coming back in our next general meeting and looking at it. I think that the council can think about
maybe get the other two council people here.
Yeah.
Are we meeting at Capitol Outlet?
No, go to. If you go to the general fund, there you get your budget. Show you under the fourth line item down has $15,944. And the reason it's 944, we balance. That was just. I mean, when we set that up years ago, that was for. It's where we would do things that are going to enhance the downtown type stuff. We helped with some garbage removal out of that fund. That's where the business license money went.
Projects, business.
The business license money went there. And we told, by the ordinance, when we did the business license, we told the businesses, the chamber endorsed it, and the only reason they endorsed it was the money was going to go toward business type business development stuff. It was not going to go to other things. So that's why you're elected.
Absolutely.
So there's money in that fund that has not been allocated. We have spent just very little out of it. I don't know sitting here what that is, but we have money in that. So if you don't go, if you start getting crazy about it, then I'll jump up and down more. But
no, I think that's good.
But that fund would be the only one in the general fund, because I would say you don't have any money because you're going to want money for the Halloween and the Christmas parade and other things.
Okay. Council, do you you want to consider that right now, or do you want to delay and or to table it until city managers have time to look into the status of the organization?
Well, you can approve it if you want, and obviously just pending.
Council, I recommend that we allocate the $2,000 from the fund that the city manager has just described.
That's Fund 10-520-2175, City Improvement Projects and Business. City Improvement Projects and Business.
Do we... want to discuss it, or can we have a motion to approve it?
I'd like to table it. And I mean, as a business, I'd like to talk, you know, away from here, business wise. I'm not comfortable doing this.
I guess I'll follow Stu. I was thinking the first, if we went for $1,000, I was willing to do that. I'll go for table it. I think let us talk about this and get the 501c3 that Rick needs. And
you already have the 501c3 corporate papers under our business license that we asked for.
And then we can readdress it, bring it back.
Okay. Is that timing okay for you?
Yep.
It won't be an
okay. issue. We'll make it
still,
okay.
Well, you still have to raise the rest of the money anyway.
Yep, that's right. Yeah.
And then I would suggest the money would be if the money is raised so that the equipment's all purchased.
Right.
Because you got to make sure that the radio station operates if it's purchased.
Yeah. Because I don't want you to think I'm not...
Oh, no, no, no. No,
I do fully support it right now. It's just a budget.
We'll bring it back.
I have been in budget things all my life, so I understand.
Okay. Let the record reflect there's consensus on council to table and bring it back at the next city general council session.
The only thing that I don't like about it, Mr. Mayor, is then I got to put this stuff back on again.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, due to time, we need to make sure the next discussion is much quicker.
Yes.
Which is another donation for the Lodgepole Dodger Snowmobile Club.
All right.
Which is transient room tax eligible. Since it's a state convention, they're coming from all over Oregon.
Okay, so, item, gentlemen.
Rick Bice, I'm president of the Lapine Lodgepole Dodgers.
I'm Ron Pugh, I'm a member.
Thank you very much.
The man that was supposed to be here is out hunting, so you're going to have to forgive me if I'm a little bit lost. I'm used to giving money out like you folks are, not asking for it.
I don't know.
So we're holding this Oregon State Snowmobile Association convention here this year in January 2015. Hoping for the least amount of people we should have here is going to be 150. We're hoping for 300, providing we get snow. And they will be here on Tuesday and leave on Sunday with our main business meeting and dinner at the Lapine Event Center. So I believe Gary asked for $1,000. We would use that for some advertising and to promote this statewide thing. Yes. We have our website that is up and running, but obviously the more we have, the more people we can draw in here. We will have a lot of the state members here as far as different clubs throughout the whole state of Oregon. This will be, a great opportunity for Lapine. I know a lot of people do come down here and ride. some of them maybe not from Joseph and, you know, the further distances away, but hopefully they'll come back again and again. Ron, anything?
Well, one of our objectives is to promote Newberry Crater, which is the area that our club manages, as a premier snowmobiling area for Oregon, which it is, or Northwest even for that matter. And so even though this is a one-time event, we hope to get the convention back again in a future year or two or three. But aside from that, we hope that some of the people come, or most of the people that come, find out how great it is and come back. And so it's not just a 150 or 300 people one-time deal, we don't believe. It's an investment is really the big picture that we're looking at. And so the better we can do to make them have a good time, help them have a good time, the more likely it is they will return. There are, 14 or 18 significant snowmobile areas in the state. Newberry Crater is probably one of the lesser known, is my perception, but we want to change that and make it one of the better knowns. And it is. My fiance and I are fairly new to the sport. We traveled this last winter. We went around snowmobile to, I think, 5 different areas, and nothing compared to Newberry Crater. It's just it's got it all. It's got the view and the good snow, and the our club manages it really well. So we want to take that and run with it.
All right, council.
I have just one question. Which is the premier spot?
The whole Newberry Crater.
I can't answer that.
In terms of big picture perception?
Yeah, you mentioned that.
I don't know, probably Bachelor. I don't know. As far as popularity, if that's what you're asking.
Yeah.
I probably, the whole Bachelor scenario up there gets more visitors.
Right.
I don't know. I mean, I don't know if I don't have statistics, but that's my perception.
It is, Bachelor gets hit a little harder than this does. And I live in Bend, but I'll drive to Lapine over Bachelor day after day just because it's not as crowded, and I like the area better.
We'll see if we can change that.
Yeah, and it does get crowded up there as far as the parking lot goes.
The theme to our convention is, what's our little logo, Oregon's Other Crater.
Oh, right.
We're trying to endorse that concept. And so we believe it is not just good for our club, obviously that's true, but it's good for Lapine. You know, I mean, I think it's good in the immediate sense for that 8 days or 7 days, whatever they're here, but I believe and we believe that it's going to be a bigger investment than that.
Conrad, anything?
I've never been into the snowmobiling sport. You know, my mom never let me do that.
You're still young.
Yes.
But there's plenty of time ahead. But I know lots of students love it. We have kids who ride whenever they get a chance. I don't know a whole lot. You could tell me what makes great a snowmobiling spot, and I would have to take your word for it because I don't know anything about it. But speaking from the student's perspective, I think many of our students like it, and they would. You know, it'd be good if there was more people there because it's not only good for your club, but like they said, it's bringing in people and it's getting the word out there. So I don't see any negative to having an event like this. It's all positive. There's nothing I see that is a downside.
Okay. Kathy, do you have anything?
No, I think it's a great thing to do. And again, the issue just comes down to the dollar sign.
You know, and that's a good point always. And I think the city manager's lined it out. We've worked for a number of years. I've been at this chair for 4 years almost. And we have struggled to bring our financial self together and to do things right. And having a budget committee that sets these things up and allocates money ahead of time is all good city business when the money that we get from taxes is minimal. So there's all of that for the council to worry about. But here's another aspect. everybody knows, has heard me say this, there is nothing in this town happens of any consequences from the 10th of December, and I'll just use that date as the Trucker's Life Parade.
Correct.
And Christmas Bazaar. Uh-huh. Until the end of April.
Yeah, if
and the biggest thing that we need to do for tourism and recreation and of bringing people in is to do it in that period. I heard, and it's off the subject just a little, but I heard a lady today say that last year they in Sun River they had a keg pull, a canine keg pull. And it was an absolute success. Mm. They were totally packed. In other words, it's canines pulling empty beer kegs through the snow.
We could pull them full. And then drink them.
But the point is, you know, this kind of event that if we could make it what you think it can be.
It's not just our opinion. I believe Newberry Crater is a gold mine we're sitting on.
I'll get to it. So my comments around it all is this is great opportunity and everything, and it is TRT qualified.
Yep.
Okay.
I've been to several state conventions for the last since I've been involved in this club for the last 10 years, and everybody likes to go to the smaller towns because they welcome them more. We were at Mount Hood last year, Welch's. Great facility, great place. But you paid for it, you know, and this will be about almost half of as much as what it was up there.
One of our goals is to have people leave here on Sunday and say that was the best convention we've ever been to.
Right.
And we want to come back. I mean, it's okay. Really simple, but that's our goal.
All right. Council?
And I guess I'll button in here. No. We sat here and heard your budget constraints, and you've echoed it again. We've asked for, I think it was 1,000. I filled out the form because I didn't know what number to put. We'd be happy with whatever you can do.
Yeah. I said on the board, our president and the board, you know, the Lapine Club, and yeah, we go through the same thing. You know, we have $1,000 high school scholarship that we give to the high school and have for the last $1,000 for like the last 4 years, and we give $500 to the Central Oregon Candlelighters for the cancer children, and we're out here doing a 2-day garage sale, and hopefully we make $1,500, you know. Yeah, no, we're in the same, we know exactly what you're going through, just a little smaller scale.
Okay. Council, is there a motion to use TRT funding to approve a $1,000 grant here to Hodge Pole Dodge?
I'd like to amend that a little bit, if I could, in a motion. I move that we approve $750 to the Lodge Pole Dodge.
Is there a second?
That's what I had written down, $750.
Okay. Is so that a second? Mm-hmm. Okay. Any further discussion? No. Hearing none, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's approved unanimously. $750.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate it.
We will do our best to make sure you get your return for your investment.
I think the businesses are going to be happy with you.
They will be. Yes. So Friday night of that convention will be, you know, at the event center. I believe it opens up at 5.
And we'll get a lot of information about that in the meantime.
Chamber,
okay. And we're going to move right along. Jeff.
Please come to
thank
it.
Thank you very much.
Okay, thank you.
Approval of an IGA for Deschutes County Solid Waste Code Enforcement?
We talked about that is the agreement we're going to have with Deschutes County. We'll turn over some of our code enforcement things to them. They're basically our staff. We'll pay them $35 an hour. We'll get a credit back on the rent upstairs. And at the end of the year, if we owe them $1,000, we pay them, or vice versa. And I've already given them a case over on Railroad. Sent it to them yesterday. Look, the sheriff's office had sent us a complaint a while back. with about 300 sacks of garbage on a house. And then I had another, I was over working on another case, and the guy next door says, why are you bugging me when I don't have anything compared to the one next door? And the one next door is bad. That's not a property that I care to enter.
Okay.
So, some people might want me to enter it. So it'll be my last meet. Probably never be back. So anyway, we just need to approve the IHA, and Deschutes County's ready to do it.
Any questions, Council? Discussion?
No.
Is there a motion to approve the IGA? Intergovernmental Agreement 2014-231, Solid Waste Code Enforcement for City of LaPlante?
Okay.
Moved and seconded. Further discussion? All those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? It's unanimously approved. Thank you. Moving right along. Now, item 10, as we have on the agenda, is discussion of city tax for medical marijuana.
Okay, so I think the best way to do is we'll talk about it a little bit, kind of get the parameters, and then you can take some comments, because there's obviously people here that want to speak on that, and then back again and let you guys talk and then decide if it's something we want to move. We're not making any decision tonight. This is a discussion to decide if we want to move forward with it. So, as you know, medical marijuana, of course, already exists. We have a moratorium, which will end in May, as with all cities in Oregon. Number one, those of you who are at the League of Oregon Cities Convention, the League of Oregon Cities has set their priorities for the next legislative session, and there are issues involved with medical marijuana is on their agenda. But one thing's kind of missing that stood out to me, they're not asking to continue the moratorium. So there doesn't appear to be at the state level, at the city's organization, they are not proposing any legislation that will extend the moratorium. I think some people, they figure, well, we'll pass the moratorium, legislature will meet January, February, March, they'll extend it another year or two, you know, and then you'll never deal with it. Well, that's not happening. So I think what that tells you is marijuana or marijuana dispensaries will be in most cities. In all the cities with moratoriums, that will expire in May. So we'll have to come up with rules. We've talked about that's coming on time, place, all that kind of stuff. Where can they be located? Further from schools, so on and so forth. Then, of course, on the November ballot, you have the recreational marijuana, which is 3 weeks out, 4 weeks. In that legislation, it says that no local jurisdictions can impose a tax after the passage. So now we sit here today, we don't know if it's going to pass or not. But if it does pass, by the measure, you can't ever put one on. So cities are adopting, and some of you sat in on those sessions, are adopting some local taxes. Ashland kind of took the lead on it, because Ashland, they actually came up with some rules on, you know, where they can set them up and so on. They're more liberal, obviously. They got aggressive with it and moved forward, and you saw a list in the email I sent you. You know, quite a few cities have done it, and it's like the last time when we did the moratorium, it's like a wildfire. One of these things, you know, it moves across the, she's put that up. You could put the one notch down on our lights, please.
Sure.
Just one notch. And this changes hourly. So this was probably a couple days old, but you can see the list of those who have already approved them. You'll notice most of them are in September, some right there October 1st. In order to pass an ordinance, you have to have your charter tells you, so every city is different. But most of them require a certain amount of notice in the newspaper and so on. But since the election is in November, I think it's the first Tuesday, you don't have a lot of time. So we want to move forward. We would need to have it out next Wednesday per our charter, where it is in the newspaper and publicly noticed, for a vote the following Tuesday at our meeting, which is normally a work session. We would make that a regular meeting. And if you approve it, you'd hold a hearing. If you approve it, then it would be sitting there. And if that passes, and someday, a year from now, if there's recreational marijuana sold, whatever the tax we've decided, we would collect. And in the ordinance, it talks about it'd be gross sales, and we can get into some of that. But that's kind of where we are. I've talked to the City of Bend, city manager, and they're talking about it. I'm not sure if they're going to move there. Recreational marijuana is legal there. Excuse me, medical marijuana is legal there. Eric told me that they're talking, and I got the impression that they were initially a no, but I'm wondering if it's moving toward thinking further about it. I got an email from Redmond tonight, and they are also talking about it, which much stronger. I have a sense that they may pass something, but again, those are up to them, and nobody quote me on that. You need to call those jurisdictions, not me. Jeremy Green and I and the city manager Matters had a conference call yesterday. I know the days run together. That was Monday. And Matters is going to take it up also, as is John Day. And Jeremy represents Burns and Monument and somewhere else. So they're all going to be, I think, looking at it. Portland, you saw the Oregonian today, has a story of how the city of Portland's looking at it next week. City of Eugene's looking at it. Springfield's looking at it. My guess is that this will be quite widespread in the next couple weeks. So what the issue would be, and we sent you the ordinance. You should have a copy there. You know, it's not all that long. It's got the definitions. But it would be a tax on the gross sales and you know, of what's sold at the store. So if they sell, and I'm going to sound ignorant because I don't know that personally get into this stuff. So, but if they buy a $150 ounce, we have 10% tax, we get $15. And it would be quarterly sent in. All, think of it like the transient room tax. You know, Chamber, she knows about transient room tax. I mean, you pay a percentage on top of what you pay. If it's a $100 room, we have a tax. And if it's a $50 room, you have a tax. We don't know, and there's no price controls. This has nothing to do with setting hours of operation, strength of the stuff they sell, or anything. This is really about, it's a tax on the gross sales of marijuana, medical or recreation. Now, most of the communities are taxing medical either at zero, not taxing it, or a less of a tax, thinking it's medicine, like a prescription drug, and then the recreational higher. And Jeremy had put those numbers down. And what he's saying at the bottom is that basically the mean right now, the median, I guess, is 5%, the second column, MMU is medical marijuana, 5%, and about 10% is what you're seeing on the recreational side. Now, there are some places that have talked about a 40% tax and things, and in talking with our legal counsel, some of those start to get where you may get challenged, and it's at some point it gets a little ridiculous. So there are some cities that are doing 15% on recreational, 20%. There's no right answer, but I think, you know, I would just say, don't look at it as a feeding frenzy. You need to keep it, I think, appropriate. You know, and then in the law, there are some money going to the state. And Stu, I told you no, but there is some money going to go to the state if it passes. And then it has a formula how it gets sent out, schools, law enforcement, and so on the recreational side. you know, we would have to go collect it. You know, they'll have to send us reports. We're doing it quarterly. We did not want to have to do this monthly, try to collect. But it's got the penalties and interest if they don't pay the tax. It's an odd conversation to a degree, just because the nature of it. Let's hope that they give receipts. Like a motel, most people run their Visa card. I don't know what people will do with their marijuana. If it's like going to the liquor store and I'm going to run it on my Visa, or am I not? Yes. But we won't answer all those questions here tonight, and we're not attempting to. It's really, as far as risk, I think that's something to look at. There's no real downside in a sense. If it doesn't pass, it becomes mute on recreational. However, you know that's coming. If recreational marijuana is defeated this November, how many do you think it'll be back a year from now? And if it's defeated then, it'll be back. You know, recreational marijuana and legalization of marijuana would appear to be moving forward across the country and different areas will, you know, it may lag behind, but when you look out, I think in the crystal ball, it appears that it's legalization is moving forward. I think you all see that. It doesn't mean you agree with it. It just means that's kind of where we're headed. Then our ordinance would already be on the books. And medical marijuana will be an issue come May. So we know that's going to happen. And so getting this set up now, and then we could obviously change, we can change things, amend things down the road. We just need to make sure that we get a tax on the books if you ever want to do it. And now there are some communities that have said no, or they're telling me no, because they feel you're sending a mixed message. And I'm sure that's went through your head. On one hand, you're saying no to recreational, or you may individually say no to recreational, and you're saying no, in the case of Alpine, we said no to medical, and we put a moratorium on. Some of you might have done that because you wanted time to figure out where they should go. Some of you might have voted that way because you wished they would never be here, but that was the most you could do. So then how do you look when you say, well, we don't like it, but we're going to tax it? And Deschutes County's taking that approach a little bit. I did get an email from the county administrator on their position, and Deschutes County does not plan to tax it. But there was one caveat he did tell me, and I think explained it. I didn't realize that the county would have to put up to a vote of the people. So that is impossible between now and November. So that may be why they're not doing it. But he did raise the issue about the, you don't want it, but heck, we'll tax it.
Okay.
That's kind of where we are. And I think my recommendation would be to hear from the people there. I mean, I would say we should probably, there's no downside to moving forward. Mm-hmm. I mean, and then we do need to set a direction, so we'll need to know the numbers you want. So maybe it's a two-part thing. Do you want to have a tax? And then second part of this discussion should be, give me some direction on the amount of the tax. Because when the ordinance comes, the tax needs to be, that's all about to be here next Tuesday, so.
I've been doing a taking government right now at my high school, and we've been talking about all the ballot measures in the past. And obviously one of the ones that we've talked about in class is medical marijuana and how, or not medical, recreational on the ballot, and so we've been talking about that. And I think even if it doesn't pass, like Rick said, it's going to come back over and over and over again until it eventually does pass. So I believe that it would be foolish to not put a tax, put a tax on something that could create income later on, even though it may not affect us, immediately if it doesn't pass. If it does pass, we lost all that possible income. So he said there's no downside, and there's lots of upside. It's income for us. So I understand that the mixed message, but I don't think by saying we want to tax it, we're saying we support it. I think by saying we tax it, we recognize it's coming, and don't have to support it, but we, it'll make us income. So that's where I stand on this tax thing. Is I'm reading.
Stu? Keep moving down. You speak very well, Conrad. I got to agree with Conrad, what he said. I always look at it like Cascade Natural Gas, like the franchise fees. If they want to do business inside the city and our business license, then I think they need to pay for it. And I think this is probably a fair way, even for the folks that are selling it, if it ever does become legal. One, I don't know what the, if they call them a shop or the head or whatever the phrase is, is going to pay the same as the other one. So I think that's a way to keep it fair on that level. And I agree that it doesn't, I hope it doesn't send a mixed message that we support or don't support it, but we're doing what's best for the city, not as us as individuals, but as a city. So
I think we have to move forward with it.
Okay. I absolutely believe that we need to move forward with it, no question.
Okay. Now that we're all in, and I agree, Conrad, well said, and we'll get to public comment. We're all basically, I liked everything you said, so.
So what you're telling me is we're not voting on it, that we want to move it forward.
We'll
have an ordinance now. How much do you want? I was proposing the 5 and 10, which is the most normal. I wasn't so much into the free. You know, medical marijuana, maybe you could get me to the recommendation of no tax if I thought, if the one person didn't issue so many prescriptions in Oregon, you know, we laughed a little bit when we did this. It would appear that, you know, obviously people are, there's a certain amount of people that are using the medical marijuana as a
dodge.
We all know that. And you can tell it by, you know, who's writing the prescriptions for it. So, to make that free, I'm not so sure that I was, thinking that. But 10%, 5 and 10, if you wanted to go 15 or 20, I think 20 is pretty high. I suppose you could sneak it up. But I didn't want us to push the envelope like a couple communities are trying, to where you start to spend legal fights and it starts to kind of be a red herring. I think if it's a tax and it needs to be reasonable. We're not doing it as punitive. It's income that we would use to help monitor, patrol, do the things that are required to monitor the situations that may come along. It's not designed to tax it to deter people from buying it here or from smoking it. I mean, that's not what you're doing with the tax. And you have to be careful if you start doing that, I think. And that was kind of the advice from the attorneys. You got to, you can do 100% tax.
Well, there's the top side and the low side, and I agree. And basically, the 5% has to do with, there's enough statistics out there about what the user is, and how many prescriptions by just a 3 or 4 or 5 doctors. And I like the 5% for that piece, and I think 10%, and that's in the middle of all of the taxes that we've heard about. So
Redmond may be looking at 15.
Yeah.
But that's, I've not talked to the mayor to see where he was on it,
Okay. Stu, what's your thoughts?
Well, how some of the other folks, the percentage is more than 3. Less than 15, and we can always change it.
Yeah, down the road that could be changed.
Yeah, so just because we sent a percentage tonight or recommend a percentage tonight doesn't mean that that's what it's going to be.
Well, it will be
later.
Right.
How does 5 and 10 sound to you? More than 3 and less than 15?
Well, the only thing I'm having trouble with is the medical side of it, because
once you probably legalize, it'll be interesting to see. These are all the unknowns. Once, if recreational marijuana is out here, I bet, why would you go to a doctor and get a prescription? The number of medical marijuana numbers are going to go way down, probably because the recreational will go up. And I was seeing in some state, Colorado, there was a thing on TV the other night. One side of the place was recreational, one side was medical, and so you just go in and.
Kathy?
I put 12% recreational and 5% medical. That's what I'm looking at.
Okay.
10 to 12%.
I can live with that.
We can come back to maybe want to hear from folks
sure.
And talk about it.
I can explain a lot of what you were saying, sort of.
Glenn, come on up here for
a
minute.
Glenn Costello, 16179 Hawksler Road. Number one, prescriptions, you can't do prescriptions. It's all recommendation.
And I'm just making that clear. So the thing is, Proposition 91 is for recreational marijuana, and all the other cities right now and counties that are shooting for putting a tax on this is trying to have a tax in place once that does pass. And it really does look like it's going to pass this time. When you talk about medical marijuana and you're talking about the different levels and everything else, you have to think about the consumer. A lot of the consumers that have OMMP cards are disabled, unemployed, children, families, low-income families that are getting, if you know the package I gave you before, it'll show the CBD oil that they give children for epileptic seizures. And the FDA just came out and approved that today for a remedy for epileptic seizures in children. So there's different types. Once it comes out recreational, it's just going to be like alcohol. But the medical part of marijuana is completely different. CBD oils don't have THC in them or have very little trace of THC in them. And THC is what gives you that euphoric effect when you smoke marijuana. It doesn't give you that effect. The only thing that they're getting from it is the benefit from the plant itself. There's a lot of medical product out there that people need. They fight breast cancer and brain. It just came out today that it's the number one cure for brain cancer. I wish I would have known that when my nephew was still alive. Lung cancer, I mean, the list goes on and on and on. It's all in the package that I gave you. I mean, every day they come out with new studies. So the medical aspect of marijuana is big, but you have to think about the consumer. When you turn around and you do a tax, like Colorado does a tax, they call it a three-time tax. They charge 25% on the grower, 25% on the dispensary, and 25% on the consumer for the recreational marijuana. So, you know, that's 75% by the time it's all said and done. But the thing is, on the medical, if you scroll up a little bit, like you were saying, a lot of them are saying no tax on medical. And 5% is pretty fair. But just consider that with the families that are out there that are on disability or very fixed incomes or very low income and have to take care of their kids and stuff like that and have to take care of their loved ones that have cancer and all these other ailments. So my point is, before you vote on, I just read up a little bit more on it. Again, I can bring more information in, whatever you want, but it seems to me that this right here is saying put a tax on medical marijuana on your agenda. Like I said, most of the cities and counties right now are looking at taxing recreational. They're getting ready for 91 to pass, and that's why they're putting it in place. Do what you want with the recreational. I mean, that's...
We're discussing the ordinance. That's just what the clerk put as the agenda. That's
fine. I just want to make sure that it's clear that what you're voting on, the difference between medical and recreational, what Proposition 91 is, and what we have in place now. And also keep in mind that the state of Oregon, if 91 passes, they're already, for medical and recreational, they're putting a $35 tax on 1 ounce of marijuana bud. They're putting a $15 tax on leaf. And then they're putting a $5 tax on immature plants. And that, again, there's a bunch of people that are involved in making either recreational or medical. There's more involved, there's a lot more overhead and everything else involved in making medical, like the CBD oils. And that right there in itself, tax whatever you want on everything else, but on the CBD oils are what's really helping people out with the really serious ailments, and especially the children. That's it.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Mr. Any other public comment? Okay. So I personally, while Stu's thinking it over,
you don't need to vote, and you don't need to all agree, because I'm going to take what I hear from you and going to give you a number, because you're not here voting, and you don't even want to act like you're voting.
So no, we're just talking about a number.
Just tell me, because it may be different. I got to put it in, so it'll be different maybe than you say.
Okay.
I'm just listening to you, and I heard kind of, but I need to know more about what you think.
And so I can support 5 and 12.
Well, I mean, Stu, I guess my question would be, is, you know, are you wanting no tax on medical?
Well, I was thinking about that, but now, no, we've got to have something because, you know, what you said about the family, I'm sorry, but, you know, I went through it myself, and it was one of the most painful cancers you have, and I didn't need marijuana, you know, and I was able to... you know, I came through it okay, so, you know, medical-wise or non-medical-wise, I think it needs to be taxed, just to keep an eye on, because you think about it, it's probably going to be harder to track the medical side of it than the other side of it.
I think under the bill, it says the OLCC is going to run the recreational side. Okay. You know, I think there's going to be... If recreational gets approved, then you're going to see some changes to medical marijuana. So this will take 3 or 4 or 5 years to evolve. I think when you look back, you know, there'll be more of a streamlined system between it all. You know, it's a little cumbersome because you've got medical and there's controversy over it. Now you're throwing in recreational, and I think it'll all work its way out over the next few years and you'll have more of a kind of simpler system.
Okay.
So based on that...
Your numbers?
Yeah. Okay. So we will, I'll talk to Jeremy and I'll talk to some of my cohorts in the cities, in the region, and just see what they're doing.
Okay.
And so look for next Wednesday, we'll have a notice out. So the following Wednesday, we will hold a, we cannot do an emergency clause with this. So what that means is under our charter, it takes effect 30 days after. So some of you might ask, well, that's after the election. But when the law passes, if it passes on November 5th, it does not take effect on the 6th. And under the bill, it's before it takes effect. And it will take effect, I believe it's like November 30th.
Yeah, I'm sorry, it's 4th.
4th. So our law would be in effect 30 days after the 22nd. So we would beat that. Because that's one of the questions I asked our legal counsel as well. We can't do an emergency clause. Again, in some cities they can read it twice one night. Gets into the whole, does it have to be unanimous and all of that.
Okay.
We'll move it forward. Jeremy's been sending me texts, our attorney. So he's sitting here wanting to know what we did.
Okay.
And he got a call from the Oregonian today. So, there you go. Thanks. We'll be all be ready to be done with marijuana someday, huh?
Well, you know, the general opinions, even in the legal staff at LOC, was that it's going to pass. So,
and in our planning commission, I mean, just tell you that we are working, Jeremy's also working, we're working on kind of that whole time, place stuff, and where they could be located for the medical side, because we have to have that all approved and in place, and we don't want to wait till the last day of May. You know, my goal would be to have, by December, have some stuff out, we could approve it in January or something, so that Sisters is voting on that, actually, at the polls, on their... where they can be located.
Oh, wow.
So,
Okay. No further discussion there, then we'll move to item 11, which is other matters. There are none. And we'll go to number 12, which is public comment. Annie? Ms. Ann?
Annie was 51501 Birch Road, Lapine. I might have a resolution to your issue for the radio station. I believe that there were some money set aside for Frontier Days for a new tent. And I never did receive notification of what the amount was that you finally decided on, but I was told there was an amount. Mm-hmm. Frontier Days is very closely involved with the radio station. As you might have noticed, the Frontier Days Association was the nonprofit that applied for the construction permit. And we feel very strongly that it's such a huge asset to the community. Since it's most likely we won't be on the new land next year, which was our hope, we asked for money for a new tent and for additional advertising because of being on the new land. Perhaps a portion of that could be taken from that fund. I think Frontier Days would be willing to give that up in order to get the radio station up. So.
I think that's a great idea. Yeah. Thank you. Council, want to revisit that?
Well, that was all out of restricted money. It was for the Frontier Days, and you have. We don't want to award money to a group and then they re-gift it.
Yeah.
I mean. You had a budget committee here, and presentations were made, and they agreed to fund things, so we got to be careful with.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? We'll figure it out. Okay. Next month.
I know you will.
But now that's nice. She's on the record. They won't want any money.
No, that's not what that means. We're deferring it.
So, see what happens. When
okay.
Yeah. Jesus.
Staff comments.
So we have a new finance person who, she was here today, Brenda, who we hired. Our new planner came today also, and we are going to, he was here today, he came this afternoon, he'll be here next week, and pretty much on Wednesday, we may move it to Tuesdays, but he was here, and we'll start next, I mean, he just came for a couple hours, and kind of went around and looked at things, and drove out and looked at a business that wanted to expand out, and, you know, getting his arms around that. So like next week, we're going to have, it's our first site plan meeting, which will be where the fire department was invited, myself, our planner, the developers coming up from Bend, and we sit around the table up here and we'll talk about what it is they're doing, and so that you all get on the same page, you know, that type of thing. So they know what's expected before they apply from landscaping. Like in this case, you know, I wanted to make sure that he landscaped. Currently, he has a development, he's adding on, but it's a significant add-on. It's not just, you know, adding a little bit. And he has not a tree or a bush anywhere. And so, you know, I told him, well, under our rules now, you'd have to landscape. And he replied back, well, I actually was planning on it. But like our new planner said, well, we need to know the size, the species, and everything. And, you know, that'll be a requirement in the future. So, and he expects that, this developer. And so we'll be meeting. But that's kind of how things will start taking place now. When applications come in, they can save them up. If the people want to meet, they can tell them, hey, we'll set up times. And then on Thursday next week, we'll be in Bend for 2 hours with the this whole transfer of development credits, you know, which is that never-ending issue of South County and sewers. And then we're meeting with the county, different people, but the planner and I then are meeting for the next hour after that, so we'll be there 3 hours next Thursday code enforcement. As I said, the county just adopted, so we're going to start, but we want to figure out exactly how we're going to do that. So we'll start them out on a couple of hard cases, and I'll manage it because I got to keep the money balanced the best I can. That should go smooth. Scott and I worked on water again today. We had Sun River was down, and they're their managers of their water department and everything. So we're learning and just learning more about water rights, mitigation credits, and all of those things. I have to respond to BioGreen because the county extended that out, the purchase agreement, 6 months. Well, now we're down to 4.5 months. Time goes by when you're having fun. And so we're working on that whole agreement, and because that ultimately evolves around water, sewer, and all of those things. So they've been calling and bugging me, and I can't give them an answer because I have to work on this water thing. And tomorrow we have a lead meeting, and I guess that's the bulk of it.
Okay. Council? Gabby, anything?
No, just driving by Mart, it looks wonderful out there now with that new front. It's beautiful. Glad to see that done.
Ashley has a picture of by Mart there somewhere.
I do.
By Mart grass.
Did you find by Mart?
You got the before.
Oh, I've got the before by Mart.
That was just when they were. Well, actually, the real before. You might have a before before.
I have a before before. Before before transition. And then the final product.
That is much nicer. And we, fortunately, you know, gosh.
Got them at the right minute.
We did get them at the right minute. We really got the right
electrical.
Minute. The electrical.
Yep. Totally.
Yeah, that was a, you know, I did not think of that. And I stopped down to check on Vic Russell down here where they're doing the drain on 3rd Street. And he says, hey, we got to run the power for our lights to finish this off because we're putting decorative street lights out here. And he says, we're going to have to rip up the grass. So I called the landscaper and I said, hey, stop the grass. Let's just wait until he gets his pipe in. And she says, well, the grass will be here in an hour.
And
I said, well, go hold the grass. She says, well, it'll die in 2 hours. So she came down here and Little River. And I said, let's you and Vic get together. You guys, you know, talked out. Well, she went, talked. I told her to go find Vic, and they talked. And he brought her the pipe, and their crew, since they were going to be there, it was cheaper. And they went and trenched it, put pipe underneath that, the electrical lines are in. And they just delayed their grass 2 hours while they did. And so it worked out. Thank God I stopped over at that. And because it wouldn't have cost us all that much to redo, because, you know, but she said, I've been around Vic, and she says, I love him dearly, but he, you know, he's like a bull in a china closet. He doesn't do anything. You know, you only need the pipe this wide to put the pipe in. But, you know, contractors,
yeah,
they're liable to tear up the whole thing.
Yeah, they had a 6-inch
trencher.
Yeah. So, you know, that's a lot different.
Yeah.
Than a backhoe.
Show them the one, I was just showing the one on the over at the industrial park. Just something I caught. So this is the new building. I mean, you've seen that industrial park.
Oh,
just
yeah.
Take the note of, on this side, I think, do you see four bushes that are kind of low there?
Yeah.
With a little mark test thrown around. Okay, then go to the next one, you'll see the front. The front, there should be another picture.
Nope, that's the only picture you sent.
Okay, we won't see the front then.
All right.
Well, but just see on that left side, each of those are a nice little bush and a tree. And this is where we're learning, we have to educate everyone. How many do you see?
2, 4, 6, 8, 10.
Okay, so that's a site plan. So when people show up and they say, this is what we're building, we didn't tell them that. That's what they said. And if they'd only put 3 or 4, we might have said you need a couple more. That's what you do at a site plan. They submitted that, then what they put in was the 4. Now in the front, you got the 2 and 2, but what I was really going to show you, and I don't know how that's not on there, but see the 4-foot sidewalk?
Yeah.
Well, when you drive by, the bark dust and everything is right out to the curb, and the trees are all there, and there is no sidewalk. And again, you know, some things slip people's minds. It's kind of like forgetting a petunia. So that sidewalk will be going in. So this is what's neat about it. By having the county here, I said, I went out, I took a picture of the permit number out there. Went back, she plugged it in, says, oh, they have one more inspection. And I said, do not give them a final order. And she said, okay. So then she emails into Ben. And so this gentleman will not get an occupancy permit until it meets our requirements of landscaping
very
and sidewalks.
Good. Very good.
And that was just driving around. I saw it, took photos, and then I said something. I thought, where's our sidewalk?
Right.
Got the site plan out.
you know, and that's what a little, that's how basic it is, but that's what we need on any commercial. The napkin won't work. This does not cost thousands of dollars of engineering. You've got to kind of draw it out.
Rick, isn't this a basic thing that they bring to you if they want to talk to you about what they're going to do?
Well,
a site plan.
We want people to, but as we're you know, it, like this person, you know, obviously it's more sophisticated possibly, but you know, if it's just kind of an old friend around town, they want to draw it on an app.
Right, right. That's what I'm
and the problem there is you can't then hold them to much.
Right.
Because the napkin's fuzzy.
So when you say site plan.
That's a site plan.
That's a site plan.
You show where the road's coming in, you're going to put the boundary lines, where the parking, where the water's going, what's asphalt, where the ADA is, you can pull it down a little. That's a typical site plan. What are you looking at?
Oh, no, yeah. No, I just...
So, they're not that...
That's my repertoire.
What's that?
Just, you need a site plan.
And we can show them examples. A lot of people, they think you're going to go spend $5,000 or $10,000, you know, that you don't need to, but you've got to have that in a commercial industrial area. And Ashley won't let them apply anymore without it. That's, you know, show them the other one. Show them maybe the mini storage. You have that there, that one.
The mini storage?
Yeah.
What's I don't have anything for a mini storage.
Yeah, I probably sent it. You didn't get it.
Oh.
But the mini storage that's going to expand, he has the same type of drawing.
Okay.
Not as much detail with his grass, so then that's what we said. Well, you have to show us what your landscaping is. Show a couple of the others here. Just.
I don't have any others.
You have no more pictures?
Oh, they I have pictures of the houses.
What houses?
The complaint houses.
Well, no, go to the left-hand side one here.
This one?
Yeah, and there should be a couple more with that. Yeah, this is the house on, part of this is educational. You see that site, see the little, the flat piece that's in between the going up?
51,500.
Yeah, that is not obviously wide enough for a wheelchair, is it? And then it goes in. That's not ADA approved. And one of the things that we, and you know how Deschutes County or Ben's in big trouble. We don't have the choice. This is not us wanting to be that. So this person wanted us to buy this. That has to be taken out and made legal. There's no option. Secondly, you'll see the whole front of it's a driveway.
Right.
So you're backing onto Huntington, which you can't do. The county doesn't want that. And so there's all kinds of issues. So when we meet with folks, we kind of laid out the various issues. You have to have ADA parking. Go back to the entrance where the ramp is. Now that's a county building code, but well, there, that has to become ADA. There's no way around it. And they will get you for being off an eighth of an inch in the slope. They will make you jackhammer
right
it
out here.
So, and then the next picture is the side where the parking was, I think. So they've done that. So it's nothing wrong with parking around back because this is converting to commercial. So that would become a driveway. And you go around back and you park. And you're building, you landscape the front, and you have an ADA spot or two in the front. So staff can park in the back. That's what you see with houses being converted. That's very normal. But, you know, it does cost money to do all this. You can't just park on the street. There's no street parking. So in this particular deal, it appears maybe it was a little expensive, isn't going to work. That gives you an example of, I sat down with the people who wanted to buy it. They had their engineer here. We went over kind of the broad picture of the things that are required. And then, you know, they have to decide if it works or not. And in their case, they had not done a site plan yet. So that's the kind of next other, you can go to those other pictures real quick. Just this one, the code, this is over on last week, just show you. You know, I've talked to, there's a local property manager manages this one. It's the same property manager that deals with most of our issues.
Okay.
We've got three property management companies, and I've only dealt with one on code complaints. This is the neighbors are saying, you can, again, I always say, you look at it. Is that acceptable? And you laugh, even. But is that acceptable next to you?
No.
Would you put up with it?
No.
Would you live next to it? I say, and I believe you're all saying, no.
No.
Not a close call. And I had it again today to describe that to the young man who manages the property, that's not acceptable. You know. I talked to the neighbors out here. This is on Lasso. So this is right here in River City. So, and there, I don't know if we had any more on.
Oh, this one,
this one's pretty bad. I think this is on Pine.
Yeah, this is on Pine, and it was kind of ironic about this one. I was actually doing the one behind it, and so then the neighbor who took me around was talking to me, because I was called out to the property that has nothing to do with this. He says, well, this is the one behind it. So the one's on Doe, and then this one's on Pine. And, you know, I have not even started on this one yet. So, and again, do you want that next to you? Keep going, it's just going to grow across and then out of there. So there's a lot of that out there.
I got one more.
Oh, do you?
On schedule.
Oh, yeah, the little side story with this one, the gentleman, how many of you saw the KP story with the, there was a stabbing, they went over the cable, and then the man, they went into the one house and the man called the police. Well, these are two different ones you're jumping around. This is a different house than the...
Than this one?
Yes.
Oh.
And there should be some more with that.
Maybe I'm lost.
No. It's just that, there was only that one picture. This place is right next door to where that man was. And when I was out here, that man that was all over the news, I met him.
Oh, you're still walking.
Yeah, I met him. And I was watching it on the TV, and I thought,
oh, boy.
Oh, shit. Do I know this guy? and then it was on schedule, and then I saw the picture and the church on the corner and the next two houses down, and I'm like, oh, I do know them. So I'm still here. But this is a property, and there should have been three or four pictures, but this property, that's nothing to do with it.
Okay.
So this is the clean part of the property. And we're working on that, and I have talked to this gentleman, and he says he's going to start cleaning it up. He's got three golf carts, he's got motorhomes, he's got an abandoned trailer, a single wide that's the doors kicked in, and you know, this goes on and on. Mm-hmm. And so, but he's right in that neighborhood where there's other things that, you know, and then there's one nice man in the middle between the two who's called me when I was here before, and he's
several
called me
times.
Again. Yes,
yeah.
And he has a clean place, so I'm going to be pretty aggressive on this one to get it out of there. The other one, though, the one that you've been trying to get to all the time, is actually a success story. That house, while it doesn't look, if you saw it, I cannot find my before picture because I must not have saved it. That one had Confederate flags lined along the front of it, and they had two sets of them, and they hung down there, and the junk was everywhere. And so I called the guy, Corey hunted him down on the internet. We found him down in Southern Oregon, the owner. And we called him, and he came up 3 weeks later with his truck and cleaned the place up, hauled away the refrigerators and all the crap out there, and the Confederate flags are all down. And so when I was out there last week, that place, you don't feel bad walking by it. And what initiated that complaint was a lady next door bought the duplex, and she painted it and fixed it up. And she said, I can't rent my place with this place next door. And they had the pit bulls in the front, the fence was where that car is, they had a fence, and all that's down. So the one we're taking on with the county right now is across the street and down about two. So we're trying to take this particular road, and I don't have pictures here, but I did talk to another man out there, and he's getting rid of his garbage. So I'm working on this road.
Working on schedule.
Well, this is actually railroad.
Oh, is it? Oh, that's railroad. Okay.
No.
So, quick question. What's our code on finding a Confederate flag?
Nothing.
Okay,
no, that
was just a complaint.
That was the junk in the stuff. The flag right. Just showed it was a do not trespass.
I was just wondering, you know, amendment rights, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Just making
good
sure.
Question. No, but when you're out, these are judgment calls. What they do is, no, if someone's had a Confederate flag, it's a non-issue.
Just making sure we weren't just...
But what you do, it's funny, when you go out to the majority of these places that are real bad, guess what they have out on the driveway, number one? A do not...
No trespass.
No trespass. And usually five or six of those signs. And then you'll find, then it is funny, on some, you'll find the pit bull. You will find Confederate flags. You know, it doesn't mean anything, but you will find those things. And what they're saying is, don't come on the property. And so like this one here, I did not go on that property. All my stuff was from the road.
The places you've had me go deliver it on out, you know,
Because they don't, you don't get to knock on the door.
They come out.
Yeah, they meet you in the driveway. They don't want you to know what they're up to.
Yeah, I sent Scott out.
Yeah.
It's a message.
So there, that's a rundown just on, you know, we spend a lot of time on this stuff.
Cool. Good to know.
Okay.
Council has no time there?
Yeah,
oh, yeah.
There's your mic.
I've been on it all the time.
Whatever word you said.
I was fortunate enough or unfortunate enough to have my mugshot taken. A few of us went to the grand opening of the new Deschutes County Jail facility, and you know, that's a pretty impressive building. It is all state-of-the-art. One of the real interesting things was the toilets now have water control so that prisoners can't try to stuff things down there to make them overflow. In other words, to create havoc and get out of their cell. It's all controlled now, even washing their hands or rolling. You know, the guys in the control room could control all of that stuff. And the one drawback I did see was, you know, they all have plasma TV screens in the common areas where they can all get together and watch TV. They can Skype on the computer instead of making, you know, 50-cent phone calls. It now costs them, I think it was $10 for 3 minutes to make Skype calls. Yeah, expensive.
Really?
Yeah. The food was really good. It wasn't the same food that they had that the prisoners eat. We were told that if on a tour, if something were to go wrong, that there were members of their tactical unit amongst us in plain clothes, and we wouldn't know, really didn't know who they were, except for this guy that's like 9 feet tall. Oh, yeah, I think he's taller than Scott. This guy is humongous. And they do warn you that if something does happen, they will not, and if you're taken hostage, they won't negotiate. They come out and tell you that.
I'll just be glad you're not.
Yeah.
ISIS or something.
Yeah.
It'd be a different result.
So, but it was interesting, and it, you know, it's a great asset for the county. So it was, and you had to buy a cot. It cost you $100, but the proceeds went to the Wounded Warrior Project. So that was a really, really good.
I was there for the dedication night.
Yeah, the sheriff mentioned that all the stuffy politicians were there the day before. That the fun group started on Friday.
Right.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, you know, it is nice, but you wouldn't want to stay there.
No.
I mean, you may sound like that flat screen TV is nice. Well, that flat screen TV is one TV for two floors of folks that are all going to congregate down here. And I decided I'd want to be on the top bunk, because the bottom bunk is close to the toilet.
Mm-hmm.
And if your roommate was using it, we were all commenting.
No privacy whatsoever. And if you rolled over, you might...
And the shower was right there.
Mm-hmm. Handicapped, too.
For the whole room.
Yep.
So, don't go there.
No. Don't go there.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay.
So speaking of the sheriff, I did get a final confirmation they are going to come, and we're going to have our little meeting with Huntington Meadows. We don't know a date yet, but Lieutenant DeLuca called me, and I talked to the homeowners president or whatever today, secretary, and so sometime in the next, say, 2 or 3 weeks, we'll have a session here for them to all visit, but you'll get a notice on it.
Okay.
Yeah, my mouth full. And seeing Mr. Shotwell's proclamation, the public is invited and the council to the ceremony that is going to be taking place for Bob Shotwell and all veterans over at the high school November 10th at 10 a.m. Invitations and everything will be going out. So
table so we can make, yeah, good.
Thank you. Okay. I have nothing for this evening, so I will entertain a motion to adjourn.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
For adjourn. Thank you.